It was a good show.
The Top Chef podcast from the creators of Read It and Weep.
Oh, let's try that again, not while tormenting Tanya.
I do insist.
Just trying to change
Keep
the subject. Woo! Okay, I am your tormented host. My name is Tanya. And I'm here in our Brooklyn studio. I'm going to go around and introduce everybody. And when I do, I'd like to know if you are pro or anti bananas. Just real quick. I am not pro bananas because I do not like bananas. And that is my hot take. Chris is in our Brooklyn studio.
Go ahead. Good thing we're married. I have the exact same take. I don't like bananas. But I am pro mayonnaise.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're getting some gasps in Portland, where we have Alex and Megan. I'd like to hear from you guys, pro or anti bananas.
I didn't know anyone was anti banana.
Yeah, they're gross.
Obviously, I would taste bananas before I would decide. The internet seems like they've got a lot of opinions pro or con bananas already, and I just can't imagine what it tastes like.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you're like, settle down, cooler heads prevail. Yeah. Come on.
More information is needed.
Everybody's
before I will decide
whipped up into a foam about this bananas. Yeah.
I don't speak until the tongue tastes. You know what I'm saying?
Megan, how about you?
I love bananas, but I just can't imagine a situation where mayonnaise is called for and I also want a banana.
That's some good wisdom there. Yeah. So uncertainty.
If you just put it on toast, don't put it in a dish. Just put some bananas on toast. They'll love it.
Don't usually put mayonnaise on toast, so it's a little weird. I don't know.
Well, what's wrong with your toast game?
I know. I need to up it.
I don't think that's how that's done. Moving right along, in the Bay Area, we have Ezra and Sarah. How do you guys feel about hashtag bananas?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of evolving on it because at first I thought it sounded disgusting, but I like both things. I think it was more just a combination issue. But the more I think about it, if it were plantains,
sure.
I think I would like that because it's more of a savory thing. I think it's just the sweet and savory combo, the fatty, I don't know. That sounds weird, but maybe it would be good because I think plantains would be good.
Yeah. I feel like Caleb has tried to make bananas pretty consistently whenever we give him like bananas. So
mashed it on your face?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, we give him some raw eggs and tell him to go to town.
Just keep him away from machetes for now.
Yeah.
That's really
Caleb
more of a parenting
is our resident
decision, Chris.
Mad scientist chef, and we appreciate his test kitchen, which is Ezra's face.
Did we get a better idea of how he made the bananas? Was it just was it an egg yolk and then he whipped banana and he whipped that forever?
I can't imagine there's actually any egg yolk in it.
So yeah, I think he used banana as the binding agent.
Oh, so just canola oil and banana?
No, that could be egg white. I don't know, dude.
Yeah, we didn't.
We're not
chefs
get here.
In depth.
He didn't share his
chefs.
Recipe.
Yeah, somebody should have.
I feel like internet could tell us. Yeah. But in the meantime, while internet is possibly telling one of us, click, 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 we can get into the episode. So this is episode 6. I think we've now said bananas many, many times. I've also said bananas, so you don't have to write it and tell me that I said that.
Like
I
the
know.
Raffy song.
Like the Raffy song.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's get started with the quickfire. So this is a San Diego quickfire. We're cooking fish tacos. Javier Plasencia is there to oversee, and he has some strong opinions. And how do people feel about this one? We had some pregame going into the quickfire in which Philip maybe understood what was going wrong with everything he ever touched.
He said he learned a lesson, and he also said he really needs the money.
Usually that's a good motivator, though.
Solid setup from Philip.
I really need the money because what if my restaurant goes under and I don't have any backup? So that's kind of another level of really needing the money.
Yeah, you do have the restaurant to begin with. Well, but maybe Mobster's going to break his legs.
He's paying all of his money to, like, that billboard every day is another $1,000. So it's just eating through his working capital.
That's a bad CPM, man.
He might need to hire a consultant of some kind. Just for, you know, general image / using money for billboards.
Yeah. You know, just some sensible, like, helpful mom or, like, somebody's helpful aunt to go in and say, like,
guys,
you know, you need this. You don't need that.
How else should Philip spend the money if he got some?
Bananas.
Ooh, counseling. A haircut.
Wait, I haven't heard before. Can you buy taste? Is that an option?
Oh.
I think, yeah, with enough money, you can. And you can buy
a stylist.
Oh, you could buy a royal taster to taste things for you, though.
No, a royal taster would be up his alley. Maybe just buy a lot of rocks to plate his food on.
Yeah. Oh, you could buy such flat rocks as you've never seen.
He was like, I know why this dish failed. My rock was not flat enough. I've learned a great lesson.
Indeed. Because I think that might be the only way he's going to learn much of anything. So this was also a sudden death quickfire, which is worth mentioning.
Yeah, that's where they kill one of the contestants.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
They throw them off the cliff if their fish taco is not up to snuff.
You know, I feel like sudden death isn't exactly the right name for it. I feel like it should be sudden peril.
Yeah, it really, or eventual death.
Yeah. Although this sudden death did draw blood.
He did, but super not suddenly. It was a cook-off.
Semi-sudden death.
Do you think these should be called slow death quickfires?
Yes.
Yes. Well, I also like slow and quick in the same name, so slow death quickfire is really amusing to me.
Slow cooker quickfire.
Slow cooker. Pressure cooker.
Crockpot death quickfire.
I thought this was an interesting one because Angelina was on the bottom again, and her chosen opponent was Wesley. How do people? I guess I'm wondering if everyone thinks Wesley is the shakiest contender.
I mean, I did think he probably had the worst dish probably for that quickfire. Angelina plated.
Yeah, he kind of had an inside out taco,
and he does have sort of like the worst butt crack.
Well, you haven't seen all of them, so that's not fair.
That was in the future.
You're right, I hadn't happened yet. I definitely would have picked pig pen at that point. I think he was the only option.
Yeah, I would have picked Philip. I feel like Philip has instincts that, you know, there's I think Philip has potential, but his odds of doing something wacky and messing it up for himself are so high that I think you have a better chance.
Oh, that's
because sometimes Wesley, you know, out of this dust cloud of horror, really does create good food.
Mm-hmm. I would think that's a fair point. I would think that, like, with Wesley, you've got maybe a 50-50 chance, and with Philip, it may be like 40 or 30, but then when he messes up, he'll mess up all the way. I just feel like Phillip's win highs are higher and lows are lower, so you're rolling the dice.
I feel like Angelina's just like, man, I really wish I could pick Angelina for this.
Yeah.
I know. Well, so this is what I was thinking about, because Angelina lost because she was just she was so focused that she forgot to put her food on the plate. Like, it's not like she actually ran out of time. Like, she just didn't.
Yeah.
She
had a brain fart.
Yeah.
Suspicious.
Totally, it will happen to
us. But keep going.
But anyway, so that's why she lost, but maybe she wouldn't have lost if she'd actually put the food on the plate. But then I was thinking, if someone else lost, like, it looked like Wesley might have lost because they seemed to really not like his taco. I think he would have probably chosen Angelina to cook off against, and I think she would have lost anyway.
So it could have been the same result.
Although, that means that she doesn't go home, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
That means one of them goes home in the next challenge.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm suspicious of her not plating. I mean, I'm so confused by this whole thing. So she plated her tacos perfectly just behind the plates.
Yeah.
And then
just in the wrong place.
I couldn't figure out if the production put the plates in front of the tacos to demonstrate this gap, or if she had just like very neatly organized her tacos on the cutting board, thinking that would be okay.
I just thought like rustic service.
Yeah, right.
That's what I was wondering, because Richard served on a rock. Why can't she say, I have served today, not on a plate, a less traditional cutting board?
Yeah.
She could have tried to BS it at least a little bit, but she didn't even try.
I'm guessing there was like a judges were called out and there was a ruling that we didn't get to see, because that seemed like she could just say, no, your plate is this delicious tortilla or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. An edible plate.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I'll need you to wash this tortilla so we can use it again.
So weird.
Yeah.
Did any of the other food, I mean, like, food-wise, did anybody impress you or not impress
Everyone used truffle, and I hate truffle.
Yeah, Ez was upset about the truffle.
Oh, you don't like truffle, Ez.
I'm not a fan,
Wait,
man.
Alex, you also don't like truffle.
Oh, no, I like truffle. I was annoyed by people using truffle. I was annoyed that your taco challenge, one of them was foie, lobster, and truffle, and caviar. Like, who's buying the $34 taco?
Yeah.
And I Phillip's did think like, that these tacos were all quite fancy ass.
Yeah. Phillip was so mad he wasn't in the top three. He's like, when I just put out yummy food, nobody likes it.
It's
Phillip.
My worst day is hearing Phillip say yummy food.
Everybody's worst day.
But like
day.
His was the one with yellowfin, seared foie gras, caviar, truffle, and chilies. And it was just
Has anyone ever had truffle on seafood? Because I love truffle, but that does not sound right to me.
I'm dubious of it with something like tuna. I just can't bring those two.
Well, yeah, I mean, just
flavor
picture food
together in my
mind. Picture, do I want this to taste more like feet? And if so, you had truffle.
Okay, Ed. Someone has a bit of a bias.
As how much do the feet cost?
Well, if you just want a little shave bit of the feet, it's pretty reasonable.
But yeah, were your feet located oil? In a forest by French pigs? Because if not, I'm not interested.
And training those French pigs to find and bite off people's feet.
Well, that's a horror movie right there.
Oh, it is.
Oh, man. No, that's an
unfinished Wes Craven project.
I'd rather dwell on Giselle than listen to that. Sorry.
Fair enough.
Sorry, as well.
Any other quick fire notes from our panel, or should we get into the
homeboy Chad won it, and his actually looked really good. And he used shark, which is crazy.
Oh, that is crazy.
Lots of mercury.
A crappy shark, right?
Yeah, I don't think
it wasn't like it was like it was like a it had like adjective shark. I don't remember what adjective was.
It was a thresher shark.
It was probably not a
K, so it was actually just a fish.
Yeah.
What?
Wait, what?
Yeah, like imitation crab.
Yeah, crab with a K.
Shark
is actually just fish.
Yeah.
But shark with a K.
It'd be better if it was S-H-A-R-C-K.
Yeah.
Or S-H-A-R-Q-U-E.
The Russia shark. Yeah.
And then you put that with carrots for a charcuterie plate.
Oh, you saved it. I'm okay with that.
Also, I love the story about Carl when he was in Central America, I guess, for some like weird vacation, and he just opened a taco stand for no reason.
Yeah, he was like, I see an uncapitalized business opportunity for a taco stand right here. I guess we live here now, honey.
Yeah, you're in Panama or Nicaragua, and you don't really need like a license. You just
do what you feel. Before? And if you're not Philip, that works out because you're not just picking things up off the ground and feeding them to people.
before we leave I was so delighted. I just want to say that I was so delighted. I'm happy about San Diego, and I'm happy about fish tacos on the pier.
That looked yum.
I love fish tacos.
Yeah. So. What a cool, fun thing.
I mean, fish tacos. Look, I'm going to come out as a hater this time. Fish tacos are fine, but like, I think they're better tacos out there, man.
Than fish?
Yeah. I like tacos generally, but fish sometimes, I don't know.
Or even like the best fish taco.
I would take the best other taco over the best fish taco.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Other tacos are pretty good.
Third best fish taco, second best any other taco.
Oh, no, no, you'd have to flop those around.
Nope, I'm sticking by it.
Well, all right, well then, still no.
Okay, fair enough.
But I like that.
I thought it was fun, and fish tacos are a great like street food, and also to have that really amazing Mexican chef, Javier, whatever.
Placencia.
I thought that was really great, and I like I have positive memories of San Diego, and I was excited to see them there.
Oh, yeah, should we go there?
Well, I went there as a kid. Yeah. And the zoo is really
just
good.
Just in general.
And they have a kids' adventure park across from the zoo that was really exciting. It had a really scary train that I fell in love with.
It is settled. Our next Pack Your Mics Live event will be in San Diego.
San Diego.
Woo! Pack Your Mics Live 29. San Diego, here we come.
We should do a GoFundMe.
It is weird that they went to... Isn't it weird that San Diego was after... Palm Springs, like they're not going.
Well, they got to get back to the coast.
They've been going up and down this whole time.
I don't know who planned their itinerary.
It's like a submarine circles. Like they're trying to find some sunken ship.
I think the availability of the chefs that they wanted to work with probably planned their trip more than anything else.
Smart.
That's my guess. Smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alex, can you go back to something you said? What made the train so scary?
This is a favorite.
This is Trains Alex's Have Seen, the podcast. Also, it's not in good grammatical shape, this title.
Yeah, it's a weird title.
It's
just a story my parents like to tell everybody they meet about me, that I was so scared that I didn't want to go on this train because it was big and loud, and then I got on it and never wanted to get off because it was so fun.
That sounds like a story.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it could use a little
like
more.
A story, but it's not.
It doesn't have a really great plot arc, but just, you know, one way and then the other way.
It's a parent story. Yeah, it's a great parent story.
It's a classic parent story.
But it's just, the story is, my kid was dumb.
My kid didn't know what was good for him.
My kid changed his mind.
Used to humiliate my kid as an adult.
Aww. Well, I hope someday you live that story down, Alex.
Oh, I can't wait to. I would like to go to San Diego just and ride that train and not be scared of it the first time and then decide it's boring.
Oh, wait, so you did get off the train eventually.
I mean, I'm here. I'm not on the train currently.
Aren't you, though?
I just want to be anywhere where a grown man is yelling at a child's train. I'm not afraid of you anymore.
I'll do it. I'm in. So, we sudden deathed somebody.
Yeah, we finally. Somebody got suddenly, not so suddenly, deathed.
What a challenge, though, for the sudden death.
Yeah, you want to talk? Explain to the kind viewers.
Sure.
Our gentle listeners.
Sure. So the sudden death of the sudden death part, the playoffs of the sudden death, were to create a dish using just a Caesar salad mix, basically. Like, just the ingredients in a Caesar salad, but not into a Caesar salad.
Because it was invented in San Diego.
Yeah, classic Italian dish made in a Mexican restaurant in San Diego. And it's... So you have romaine and croutons and little fish, and that's it. And you have to make a dish out of just that and make it not look like that. And it was a clear loser for Angelina, because she didn't make an egg, and that's your best part of that dish.
Oh yeah.
Make a fried egg.
Yeah. She also basically just made Caesar salad on a piece of toast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she made a crostini, where she made basically the Caesar dressing on it, which was not enough of the dressing. Whereas Wesley made a fried egg with an anchovy remoulade, and that does sound better.
Yeah. Although Wes was struggling with that egg, at least.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, yeah. Five eggs in or something.
He did it, though, right?
He did, yeah. Credit,
yeah. They referred to it as a perfectly cooked fried egg, and they just didn't mind that they watched him throw away 12 eggs before that.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, they didn't have to eat any of those, so that's just fine.
That's true.
I wish we had an extended cut of the bad egg disposal, though, where she's just like a super cut of just him dumping them off the pier or something like that, or throwing up the seagulls, or just like,
or just trying to hide them in a napkin and smuggle them to the dog.
Yeah, tucking under his hat.
Yeah.
Shaking them out of his pant leg.
I don't see any bad eggs. This must be your first one. And then one slowly slides down his face.
Out of his hair.
Good job, Pig Pat. Way to stay alive for another 26 minutes.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, it turned out that Angelina did choose well, because Wesley did not survive the elimination challenge.
Elimination challenge.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. So the elimination challenge, was based on a project that nobody knew was happening, in which all of these chefs partnered up with Stone and Ballast Point Breweries and made their own beers. So instead of a knife block, we had a beer block.
Beer block. Hashtag beer block.
Hashtag beer block, which I don't know that I'm campaigning for it to come back necessarily.
How much do you think the celebrity chefs actually put into making these beers?
I have a lot of questions about that, actually. Yeah.
Well, Richards was wacky and like a crazy person, so I assume he had full control.
Richards was a stout with beets, Razzle Hanout, and chocolate for mystery.
Yeah, he's really into the mystery that chocolate brought.
Oh,
yeah.
God, repeatedly Richard. Referred to chocolate as a mystery. Like, no one knows where chocolate comes from. So.
What it tastes like.
I bite into chocolate and it's just a mystery every time.
I eat chocolate, I wake up somewhere else. I'm a sous chef again. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so Richard's getting his chocolate from mysterious sources. And Padma's... let's go through the beers, I guess, since we've started doing that.
Well, can you guys tell me, beer, as not a beer drinker, can you also say, thumbs up, thumbs down, this sounds drinkable?
Sure.
So Richard's beer sounds gross.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, chocolate and stout, though, that's not so crazy. But
Chocolate stout with beets in it, though.
And also the Razzle Hanout, that's like the Batman villain also, right?
Yeah, Ra's al Ghul, yeah.
Good one.
Not as mysterious as chocolate still. It's weird.
Yeah. I also just don't like stouts, so that's...
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not... Yeah. I don't... It's rare that I reach for a stout. Podmas was a golden ale with jalapeno, ginger, and tamarind, and I was intrigued by that.
Yeah,
I like
that
a spicy
sounds good
beer.
To me.
Yeah.
I would... Yeah, I'd try somebody else's. I would not want a whole beer of that.
We had like a Not Your Dad's ginger ale. It was like an alcoholic ginger ale. That was delicious. So I can imagine alcohol goes with ginger.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely. And then Tom, pure American weirdo, went with lemon, coriander, and banana.
In a wheat beer.
In a wheat
which
beer.
Is totally fine.
Yeah, no, I mean, fruit and wheat beer go together like peas and carrots.
Yeah,
it's basically like a slightly...
Pretty similar.
But again, the banana combo with those things, or coriander and banana to me, are almost as weird as mayonnaise.
So in a beer like this, how much would you taste each of those? Would you be like, I'm getting notes of banana and coriander, or just like, this is a pile
of
gross?
You're a jerk. If you're a jerk, you say that. Otherwise, this is beer.
Okay.
I'm guessing it's mostly lemon, and then, you know, in descending order, coriander and then banana.
Yeah, but yeah, like Hefs can taste banana-y.
They can.
Way.
They can. Yeah. This is true.
Yeah.
And then lastly, Emeralds was coffee, cayenne, and tangerine, and that was the one that I was most interested in.
Yeah, because Emeralds the best.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Emerald knows his way around most things.
And he carries that beer around in his back pocket.
Mm. Yep. You can't sit
here,
down,
buddy,
but he'll waddle
beer.
Around and offer you some.
I really like Emeril.
Can we all marry Emeril
like
in
Emeril
a big
so
episode?
Much.
Is that possible?
Oh, yeah.
Just talk about how Emeril does like a group therapy sesh just for no reason. He just comes by the chef house and
he
is like,
so
hey,
supportive.
Guys, let's rap about your feelings.
It's halfway through.
One of my favorite things about Top Chef New Orleans was Emeril just showing up at your house with some treats and then talking you through this tough day.
I know. I want when I have a bad day at work, I want to come home and have Emeril just like knock on the door with some wine. A
couple bottles of wine in his back pocket like, hey, Tanya, no one knows how hard you have it.
Listen, no one's gonna understand this project like you do. Like,
Sarah,
you're right, Emeril.
If we're gonna like renew our vows, I'd want like one of them to be like, I promise to be your Emeril.
Aww.
I think that'd be like the best thing you can say about someone.
Sounds good, baby.
You're gonna cook your wife?
Not to Emeril you, I promise to be your Emeril.
Bam. Megan, I would you are my rock, my non-scary train.
Oh, yay!
All of these vows are renewed.
Yeah, you guys did a great job renewing your vows so fast.
I know.
We have to do it every couple weeks. It didn't take.
Yeah, it's like a library. Unless there's a hold on it, and then you can't.
Yeah, it's weird.
You just gotta return it. Get new.
I hope no one puts a hold on it.
I think, Chris, it hasn't even been a year yet, so I think we can wait. We'll wait to tell each other we're going to be each other's Emeralds for a few more months.
Okay.
I love Emeralds so much. I was so happy to see him. And I do still like Blaze, even though he is not only obnoxiously dressed, he's also a Philip apologist. But I do enjoy Emeril the most. And so it was a fun group of judges.
I like the hominess of the available judges this time around.
And the challenge was
felt cozy.
An individual challenge. And chocolate is so mysterious. Oh, I'm just so happy, you guys.
Yeah. It was a good one.
It would have been great. As a fifth judge, I would have loved to have Mr. Placencia around.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he seemed like a really nice guy, too. So.
Yeah, but otherwise, I agree. Totally happy.
Well, okay, so I wasn't here last week, so I didn't get to talk about last week. But last week was my favorite episode of the season so far. It was just a pure...
Whoa.
I thought it was so much fun. I was just so happy watching the show. And... like, because I love, but also because I, like, we're at that point where I feel like I know the chefs, some of the weakest ones are gone. I feel like this is, like, 4, 5, 6 is where the show really crystallizes. So I was still enjoying it this week. I'm really happy with the group. I feel like we're in the meat of the season right now.
I completely agree, especially since we have that new chef. You guys know
Amar showed up.
Amar?
I hadn't heard about him.
Amar finally showed up.
Yeah, I was like, Alex, you feel like you know everybody? Tell me about Amar.
Tell me about Amar, Alex.
Well, he got a bye for the first 5 episodes, and now he's here, and he had a family thing as a kid, and now he's got a mohawk? A real small one.
I guess. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he's got hair. He says stuff sometimes.
But
it's crazy.
Isn't that Chad? I forget.
That's true. But it was nice to finally get to meet Amar 6 episodes in, so that's also part of why I liked it.
I mean, you know, Angelina couldn't resist being on the bottom all the flippin' time. But Amar just in the background doing whatever.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised that Amar didn't win because we met him for the first time. And so I thought that meant he must have done something great instead of just pretty good.
He finally got noticed.
I think they were just like, oh, wait, who's that guy over there? Like, we have to do something with him. He's been here the whole time and we haven't done anything with him.
Is he in the background of other scenes? Do we need to...
It's like a ghost kind of thing. It's like, wait, he's been there the whole time.
Yeah, Amar's been here since season 9.
Yeah. You know, actually, he wore a gorilla suit and wandered right through, but nobody noticed.
We were all so focused.
We're still focused, yeah.
Unfortunately, we checked with the continuity guy. There is no way to cut it out. So like Amar wasn't here, so we really just have to bring him in.
Steer into it.
But he did great. I loved him doing great. And I like when he was describing his jalapeno popper, I thought that was kind of rad.
That was high risk, high reward, because jalapeno poppers can be gross.
Yeah, and also, like, even in their best, they're still kind of like a greasy treat.
Yeah.
And so it was definitely risky, but also Tom loves some good greasy food with his beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and he was able to sous vide a chicken breast with zero drama.
Mm. Yeah.
Which was very exciting.
Yeah. I don't even think we got a picture of, like, him, like, putting it in the bag and, like, sealing it up. Like, did it just happen?
Yeah.
It just, apparently, sometimes you can sous vide something.
Well, in contrast with poor Marjorie, or as Cajun Man 5000 says, Majorie?
Mercury? Mercury?
Yeah. She struggled with that pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. It turned out good. She still made delicious food, but like...
the 13th season. How do you show up on Top Chef and not know, I should try a pressure cooker before I get here?
Yeah.
This is the... every year...
we should have like a boot camp for like Top Chef hopefuls.
Oh man, don't make a salad, don't make risotto. Here's how a pressure cooker works. You're off. Go with God.
Yeah, at least scallops are in the back.
Yeah, no one dessert.
Yeah, yeah. Bring two desserts. I mean,
and maybe like
this is the thing every goddamn time. I was so shocked when she didn't know how to use a pressure cooker. It's sort of inexcusable.
Ezra, did you have another commandment for Top Chef?
Well, Caleb says top. So
hey, that's half of the name.
Hi.
Whoa!
Oh yeah, Caleb. I wonder what he's working on in his test kitchen.
It's a quesadilla that that his mama made.
Oh,
it's hot though. Yeah. So I mean, I guess you'd say watch out for hot quesadillas. Maybe would be the other rule that he might have.
Yeah,
That actually reminds me. When we were talking about the first challenge with Chad winning, I forgot that Chad did. He was the one who did. It was like, Padma loves spicy food. I know this guy's palate because I'm from San Diego. This chef likes spicy food, so I'm going to like knock their taste buds on their ass or something.
Yeah. And then that was smart. They were both like, oh, the spice is dead on.
I know. Yeah. They were. Yeah. He was like, I'm going to go at him. And then they were both like, nice. That's amazing. Like, I love when someone really knows the chef's palate. That's really impressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It does help. I mean, you could just stay. Yes, just stay up on Tom and Padma's palates. It'd probably be like not a bad idea at all.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like, it's not Grayson. Grayson doesn't like spice. Things. Padma likes spice.
Padma, yeah. And actually, one thing that was smart menu planning was Amar. He made something that was spicier, and one of the comments was it makes you go right to the beer.
Yeah,
and that's a good point.
Finally, a way to sell some more beer in your restaurant.
Yeah,
can't move these at all.
Yeah, from the makers of Karaoke comes spicy.
I liked the challenge element of this beer has these notes. Therefore, put these notes in the food because that's actually sort of a complicated idea to try and figure out a way to incorporate the same flavors into something else and not have it feel redundant.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Carl.
Yeah.
Too closely.
Yeah. 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 So it was almost like eating something and then drinking the same thing, which is not a pleasant experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that, yeah.
I have steak frites and then over here my steak frites milkshake.
And I wish I was dead.
Did anyone else like dip their French fries in their milkshake when they like went to McDonald's or anything?
That is
can you
not
be
a
against
bad choice.
Bananas and in favor of that? It's just offensive.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty offensive as people go.
Who else was really fun? Oh, it was surprising that new guy didn't win, but it was also surprising that Kwame didn't win because Tom's eyes. When he tasted Kwame's food, he like he swooned.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he was in the top three, but like Tom looked like he was ready to give him Top Chef for the season. Like Tom's eyes look like
that very, chicken mojo.
Pack it up. Let's go, you guys. It's Kwame.
It was beautiful too. Like the plating of that charred green onion. Like it was great. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. But I liked that Karen did what she set out to do. Like in her little confessional, she was like, I'm gonna do this. I'm sick of these other people winning. Yeah. And then she just won. She just did it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loved her nibs.
Okay. Let's not.
And her microgreens. They were cacao nibs.
Did they not love her nibs? We have to say it. It's true.
No. People kept saying, I love Karen's nibs. Right? They said that on the episode.
Tom could not stop talking about Karen's nibs.
And also, so she did what she set out to do, whereas Philip set out to be real boring so that they would like it, and he came in right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah. Congratulations all around.
I think more people should try to be Amar. Just spend 6 episodes not existing and then you'll suddenly be at the end and you'll be like, well, I made it this far, I might as well take it.
We do spend too much time existing.
Philip certainly does.
I mean, the first time we notice him, it's for something good.
Yeah.
And it's the only time we've noticed
that doesn't always happen. There's a lot of, like, middle bottom.
Yeah. Right, because all the other bottom just leaves, and then, like, you know, then you're an artifact bottom.
To you. Or people are like,
climbs up to you.
Or people go like, middle, I'm going to do something to get noticed. I'm sick of being in the middle, and then bottom.
That's true. Or the first thing they do to get noticed gets them too noticed, and they get scared, and then they have to go.
Yeah.
Sorry, as I cut you off.
Well, I was just saying, like, on the off chance that, you know, so we're like up to, like, you know, like, multiple hundreds of listeners. On the off chance that Philip ever hears this, can we say something nice about him? Like,
oh,
nope.
I mean,
wait, why?
I like that Alex is like, no, silence. Silence for me, dog. No,
I'm trying to think of one. Philip, I got nothing.
Philip is definitely trying things that are out there, mm-hmm. and that's good. It'd be great if he cooked yummier food.
Based on a news item that Chris Tokohama shared, Philip and Kwame are working together.
So
if Kwame sees something in Philip, then there's something in Philip that we haven't recognized.
Yeah, so Philip must be an all right dude then.
Philip must be an all right dude.
I think there's probably plenty of nice things to say about him, just not on this TV show. In real life, maybe he's got a lot to offer.
Yeah. Okay, so it's just a TV show version of Philip that we don't like necessarily. Mm-hmm. But, like,
totally.
We don't know anything about him.
It's like how some people are photogenic and some people aren't.
Yeah.
He's making food that's not great for the show, and then he's being a huge dickbag about it.
Right, that we're seeing. Okay, so he's just not bravogenic.
Yeah, he's not bravogenic.
Okay,
or
that's fine.
he's getting the magical elves.
Yeah.
The douche edit. I don't know.
No one is getting a douchier edit than Pigpen today.
Yeah,
wow, he got
they
the
were
doom
so
edit,
so
I thought.
Rude to him.
Say more about that, Chris.
Oh, no, Megan, go.
Oh, I just thought they were so rude to him. The magical elves were just mean to Wesley, and I didn't
so mean
didn't because appreciate
of his butt.
It.
They showed him
his
butt.
Was it his butt, Megan?
Yeah.
And then, when he was leaving, so I thought that was completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, we saw this, we're gonna put it on TV. Like, why did you have to do that? That was rude. And then when he's leaving, because fast forward, he does go home. They do this, like, as he's, like, they're, you know, they do the thing with him talking and saying his final thoughts on the show. And mm-hmm. then
his last words before he's executed.
And then he's leaving. And then they have this sound effect of, like, you know, something falling on the floor.
Oh yeah.
It's like,
that was
so rude. This is his moment to, you know, to say something. And
he was being really gracious. Like, he wasn't being a monster about it.
Yeah. I thought it was
okay,
rude.
But they could have had fart noises instead. So, like, I thought they were they showed a lot of restraint from their part.
Megan, I completely forgot about that clatter as he's exiting. that was uncalled for.
He did lose me in the first challenge when he started chewing people out because he had misplaced a lobster.
That's true.
He was yelling at everybody like, "Who stole my lobster? Who stole my lobster?" And then it was Karen was like, "There's a lobster on my station that I didn't put here." And then they cut to him going, "I misplaced my lobster."
Do you think the lobster was trying to crawl away?
That was my first hope, because they were so close to the ocean. I was hoping he, like, just scurried off the table and into the sea.
Also, I love
snapped its bonds and tossed it into the ocean.
Karen's line was Karen's line was great, though, because she was like, I thought Angelina just brought me a lobster. I thought she was being really sweet.
I liked the idea of just like product of friendship that you just put on other people's stations.
Here's a lobster, man.
Hey, I think we're going to get along well.
Here's some mystery chocolate.
Yeah. Here's some chocolate. No one knows where it's from.
What kind of a flavor profile it could possibly have.
Yeah. Well, with Wesley gone, who will Angelina steal from now? Oh, wait. She's gone.
She's okay. gone, too. Everyone's gone.
Everybody's gone.
Yeah.
It is a much tougher challenge. Like, those were the two clear bottoms, I thought. So it is going to be tight next week. And not the good guys.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, when we were talking about who would you challenge, who would you select for the sudden death, it's slam. You got a lot of good.
Who's the skinny guy we don't hear about very much?
Carl.
Carl?
Yeah, Carl.
We did originally. It. Carl's quite the gentleman. And he's very talented.
He's very good.
He's been a little middle
he's
recently.
He stumbled a little bit this episode.
Well, yeah. Jason Squidballs, though, also, right? That could have been.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Squidballs.
Jason.
So...
Whoa.
We forgot about Squidballs.
So Richard said, just as often as he said chocolate was mysterious, he said that was the weirdest thing I've ever eaten.
Yeah,
like he just kept repeating that over and over again.
Yeah.
He was so taken aback. And he's like into weird stuff. So,
but Megan, they used to eat that in the 1200s. Does that make it better?
Yeah,
no
say,
one. Is, sorry, go tell you.
Until I saw Jason like squeezing that squid pasty gnarliness out of a tube.
Idea
of a seafood meatball is not that bad. Like I can picture that working, mm-hmm. and I wasn't taken aback when he like said what he was going to do. But then when I saw what he was doing, then it got really rough.
Megan didn't like seeing all the little squids laid out, but yeah, when he put it in a pastry bag, ugh.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't pipe out squid so much.
Yeah.
maybe we stop doing that.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, maybe we did stop doing it in the 1200s, and he decided to bring it back for a history lesson.
Yeah, around the time we invented... Wait, oh, I guess that was the 60s when we invented the Caesar salad.
Right, yeah.
That was the
20s, okay.
Yeah. Oh, man, so there's a rough time then. There's like a rough period of time like after we stopped having squid balls before we got the Caesar salad. Like there's a rough gap where we just don't have enough.
Yeah. It's called the food desert.
So hardtack and...
just hardtack.
Yeah, Johnny Cakes and hardtack.
Hardtack and the memory of squid balls.
I really thought he was going home for that. I was surprised, actually.
Tom hates when you overcook lamb. Cardinal sin. It's one of the Top Chef cardinal sins.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And he knew it. And I respect that when the chef was like, yeah, I messed up. There's no way I can fix overcooked lamb. That's just not an option. It's too late.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
I go home now. Please don't play sound effect on my way out. I've been a good chef.
Well.
He didn't get it.
Didn't get it all.
Yeah.
Indeed. I think this is a good time to segue into the let's remember our rehearsal, everyone.
Mailbag.
We did it.
It's real good.
Perfect. Let's start over on Facebook. And Chris, our Facebook aficionado, can help us with that. Facebook.com/packyourmics.
Yeah. So we had Joan write in. And he, firstly, is from Catalonia.
Mm.
Sorry, Jason. We don't do soft on soft, nor archaic recipes. I think you're confused.
Sick burn.
He was happy to see Chad winning his hometown for the quickfire. Mm-hmm. He was happy that Amar came out to play this episode, and mm-hmm. that was good. Mm-hmm. And he also is a Kwame fan, thinks he's the strongest one.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a fun note. He said, when Philip said, I'm going to do food that the judges like, his wife, Joan and his wife said, they were like screaming at their TV, at last, you idiot! Come on!
At least use plates that the judges like, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So there's a couple things embedded in there. Do you guys agree about Kwame being the strongest one? I love Kwame, huge Kwame fan, but I have some concerns that he's a little young and he's peaking a little early.
Mm-hmm. I think Jeremy is also quite strong.
Jeremy is,
Yeah.
But yeah,
And Alex, I agree that there is something to coming out so strong so soon in the season. Mm-hmm. Like we just discovered Amar, it's a little early to be giving your best performances. You kind of want to save some of that power for later.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you save it or just like there is some luck in what he's doing right now that he's gotten good challenges to fit with him, and he might. I don't know. I don't know. I just worry when someone is this powerful right now. It's you're not going to run the table,
right?
Well, unless you're extraordinarily strong of mind. Sorry, Ez, what were you going to say?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think just it's maybe that we still don't really believe. We still think he's a little more lucky than flawless,
he's
I guess,
like
at this
13,
point.
He's 13, so it's reasonable.
But
he's
not that young.
He's kind of like humble about it still.
Yeah,
and
he's
like,
too humble for us to feel like, oh man, yeah.
Yeah, because he wasn't expecting to win everything at this point.
Yeah, a lot of the things that he wins with, he's like, I wasn't sure if that would work, and then it was great.
I like that so much, though. That is, it's, I don't know.
Oh, it's
like,
so charming, yeah.
It's very charming, yeah.
Yeah, so. And I agree. Like, I think, you know, Carl is still going strong.
Marjorie, Karen.
Marjorie and Karen. I know, I'm really pulling for Karen and Marjorie, just because I feel like we haven't seen as much from them, mm-hmm. and more than their flubs, I think their strengths are pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
And Dark Horse Cajun Man 5000. I'm still.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, he's actually got more of a chance than I thought. He's really doing well. And
yeah.
He worked for Emerald for many, many years. So mm-hmm. he's got a better pedigree than his ungainly beard would suggest.
That beard's just gainly for me.
There's nothing more that I love. I'm having so much fun with him. The bananas was good. But I lost my shit when he said, I don't know what to do with the banana, maybe freeze it in nitrogen and put it up my ass.
Yeah.
So surprised. I was really not expecting him to say that.
He's a salty dog, that Isaac.
That
He's got a lot to give.
A lot.
Yeah. I do. I enjoy him quite a bit. And I like his instincts. Generally speaking, when he decides what he's going to do, it sounds really delicious.
Totally.
Like, every time.
It's really just a raw corn on the cob sitting in the middle of his volute that was the problem.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
that plate did look
like a dystopian
landscape.
I want the hot stuff out of the cold stuff. He just needed a little tiny table, so he used the corn. I thought that was cute.
Yeah, yeah.
And his dirty rice made Tom, like, almost pass out last week.
Yeah, that's true. Tom has had a lot of swooning.
Oh, Tom,
I feel like
Tom
is just
so hard.
He's a loosey goose.
Yeah, check his blood pressure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he on like Lipitor or something?
Something happening with his platelets. Just keep me posted. Let's go over to Twitter.com. Twitter.com?
Twitter.com, Tanya.
It's not Twitter.net site.
Let's explore the World Wide Web.
Go to your browser.
Everybody.
Type in www.
Wait for your dial-up to complete itself. So on Twitter, our faithful companion, Chris Tokohama, had a lot to say, per usual. Let's do some highlights. He has a legit question for us. Do we prefer peanut butter, banana, and marshmallow, or peanut butter, banana, and mayonnaise? Is that going to be a hard question?
It's not a legit question.
Yeah.
I think it's an illegitimate question.
Let's just call it a toss-up.
This is just a question. Do you like the nightmare or the thing you've heard of before?
Well, I'm in the mood for something new today.
I mean, banana with peanut butter is a really excellent combination.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Guys, it's been so fun being your host. I also don't like peanut butter, so I guess I'll just see myself out.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, I know. Bomb dropped.
Oh my gosh.
Have you had peanut butter with banana then? Because like maybe it's
I've
a two
it
wrongs
with
make
chocolate,
it right.
And that does make it more palatable. Mm. So I'm not a total.
No one understands what chocolate is though, so I don't know if I can count.
Yeah,
it.
It's a mystery.
That might
I
work,
like when
might
I put
not,
peanut
not sure
butter
why.
Into some kind of flavor void, and then whatever comes back seems okay.
Wow.
Yeah. That is surprising.
Sorry, guys. Indeed.
Well,
oh,
good
okay.
question.
And then also from Twitter.com.
Oh, from the good folks at Twitter.com.
Yeah, wow. Twitter.com has something else to say.
Hashtag Twitter.com.
So at Fizzy Fizzy Fifi says, do you think that Richard, that had Richard won, he would not have become a judge? And I actually love this like weird alternate sliding doors universe question. Because then he wouldn't have been on All Stars because he probably wouldn't have had that same like fan favorite issue.
No winners were on All Stars.
Right, and also no winners were on All Stars.
Because All Stars
reason.
Is the worst name for a concept. It's always All Stars is always people who did not win. It's always low stars every time.
Mid to low stars.
The stars of our hearts.
Heart stars.
Favorites.
Heart stars.
The comeback
and nobody wanted to watch Top Chef Heart Stars, which I kind of understand. That sounds like an awful challenge.
I don't know. I'm into it. I'd try that with chocolate.
Yeah. So there's a better chance that Richard would have disappeared after his win is what Fifi is positive.
Yeah.
You know, that's really interesting. Yeah.
Been like more of a regionally well-regarded chef.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like Wesley five. Has, so.
That was when they were in Blaze's kitchen today.
Yeah, so, Juniper and Ivy. Yeah. And I think they. Yeah, I was confused about his credit because they just listed him as the owner of Juniper and Ivy when like in his Chiron. But I thought like he owns 700 burger joints or something.
Yeah.
So I think they were just keeping it simple because they were in San Diego.
I would enjoy if, like, when Emeril came out, they had to say, like, Emeril Lagasse, owner, and then they list everything he's ever done on the TV. Creator of the catchphrase,
bam. They just flashed
bam,
to, like...
Big supporter of butter.
The chef equivalent of his IMDb page.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You just have to watch his sizzle reel.
That's a good point with Richard. Richard is such an interesting character on the show because he was so beloved and then such a weirdo when he came back and then an okay judge. And then he's kind of coming into his own as a judge. So he's been a real roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
True, in my heart, I assume everyone agrees.
Yeah, I think as far as timing, I think him winning Top Chef would have delayed him being a judge and perhaps prevented him from being a main judge. But he might be a featured guest judge. He just loves being on the Top Chef all the time.
Yeah,
he does. And isn't he someone who is on a lot of other shows too?
Yeah, he was a sous chef, like a staff sous chef on Iron Chef America for a while, and then a challenger on Iron Chef where he did really well. So he's always been into the food TV world. So I wouldn't be surprised if he asked to come back if he'd won.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough.
But good question, Fizzy.
Indeed. We had one little chime in from Maren Benson, and she said Bananes was the best part. Probably wouldn't eat it, but good on him for inventing it. And I have to agree. I think that's a good. I think that was a good try.
I do.
Yeah, there's a lot of inventions like that.
I would like to add just a bit of research that I've been doing, which is that Bananes. I found a reference on the internet back in 2007 on a vegan bodybuilding blog where
Isaac clearly reads vegan bodybuilding blogs all the time.
I think he might have.
Least favorite kind of blog.
At BP Mojo invented Bananes. He said, it doesn't taste very good, but I like the word combo. So, good job, dude.
Yeah.
But this is a vegan Bananes.
Yeah, he was mixing banana into Veganes, which also seems a little simpler.
Are there any other nases we can get out of that are not good ideas but are good word combos,
like a banana Bernays?
Well, I like the idea of a Bernays.
Bernays,
I thought that would
that's
be
pretty rad.
That was the only one I had.
Yeah,
Lamnays
or a Holland Bayonnaise.
I would like all these.
Cranes?
The cool thing about Bananes is not that everyone thought it was a good idea. It's just that the word, the portmanteau, is so instantly delightful to people.
Oh, yeah.
That was
Did you guys also just crack up when he introduced Bananes on TV? I mean, like,
well,
Tanya and I were just losing our
minds. I would have been more excited, except that it's the name of the episode, so I knew that when I loaded it that there was Bananes coming.
Oh,
so I just saw it for a while. Maybe that's why I liked so much when he decided to put the frozen one up his ass, is because I thought he was going to invent Bananes right there, and he had to stop over at the other thing first.
Right.
Sure. Let's keep those images close together in our mind vaults.
Banana suppository. Supposanana.
Oh, this is only getting better. More of that. So Lauren Singh on Twitter.com would like to know what flavors would be in your craft beer. So this is a tricky one, I guess. Do we poll the beer drinkers?
Yeah, we should probably start with you guys, because if I was just like, can we put not beer in it?
Well, what flavors would you like in a beverage, in a festive beverage, Alex?
Well, so it's like three ingredients that could also be into a challenge, right? That seems to be the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or just the beverage for drinking.
Oh, I don't have to think of it as a Top Chef challenge later. I've got somebody else.
I was going to say chocolate and peanut butter. I don't even like stouts, and the idea of a chocolate peanut butter stout or something like that sounds terrible. But everybody would have to make me chocolate and peanut butter desserts, and I would love that.
So you would just skip the beer. You would just be like, I'm just going to not drink tonight.
Can I get a peanut butter
just
cup?
Eat the peanut butter cup.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
Fair.
Now I'm
That's
on board.
Fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have one, Tanya?
I was trying to decide. I think there's this hot juice beverage that I used to get at this place in Seattle.
Hot juice.
That's like, yeah, hot juice. It sounds really terrible now that I'm describing it. But yeah, orange juice and like cayenne and lemon and stuff. And I thought that actually might be nice in a wheat beer, like kind of a spicy orangey. Yeah.
Called the cleanse beer.
Yeah, I guess so. And actually, probably there'd be some ginger in the mix too for that extra kick. So yeah, that sounds like a beer I'd try.
What about like coconut curry?
No. Oh yeah, yeah. I've had some coconut beer.
Yeah, and chocolate pastry.
Never mind. I'm gonna try Sarah's beer.
Yeah, that sounds
pretty
good.
Sarah wins.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that's a harder challenge. I sort of assume, we talked about the process earlier, but I sort of assume that they were like, look, pick three things and we'll make it into a beer, or pick from one of these predetermined three-thing beers, or like pick three things off this list of 10 things, or something that it's not just come up with a beer off the top of your head, Tom. I'm assuming he had some training wheels.
I hope they all did. I mean, yeah. I certainly would try any of the, like, if I could get a flight of the chef's beers, I would be open to that.
Yeah.
For sure. They're so intriguing. You know, I don't think anybody made like a horrible monster of a beer.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean,
maybe
just, none of these sound good, not in a beer. Like, just these three combinations are all kind of questionable, I thought. Anyway, that's my thoughts. I don't know anything about beer. Is it a good question though? Thanks for asking it. Keep them coming.
Indeed.
Keep going to twitter.com with your questions.
Yeah, go to twitter.com. We are at Pack Your Mics, and you can also reach us on facebook.com/packyourmics. And that concludes the
mailbag.
Rock solid, guys. Let's talk about Last Chance Kitchen.
Let's do it.
Woo! So Grayson takes on our two new incoming folks from the Sudden Death Quickfire and the regular style bye-bye. And
the regular style bye-bye.
The regular style bye-bye instead of the early bye-bye. Yeah. So it's Grayson versus Angelina versus Wesley. And they have to cook a great burger.
Yeah, Tom found a great pickle somewhere.
No, we made the same joke.
Tom located a great pickle.
Angelina said, she was like, to make a great burger, you just have to have, and then she paused long enough for me to yell, a great pickle. And I really appreciated it.
She knew. She knew. Somehow she knew. And I was impressed that they came up with such radically different burgers across the board.
Yeah.
It was cool to see them all kind of branching out.
Yeah, and Tanya, were any of them called the Dirty Girl?
No, which made me so happy. It was a delight that none of them were called the Dirty Girl. Mostly, I would like to talk more about new Loosey Goosey Tom and his crazy ways.
Oh, I'm so enjoying Last Chance Kitchen. Did you guys talk last week about how people seem who I hate on the show seem to get more likable on Last Chance Kitchen?
I was thinking that. I don't think we talked about that.
Because Grayson was so much more tolerable in Last Chance Kitchen, I thought.
Yeah, we talked a bit about that last week, that we're really digging Grayson on Last Chance Kitchen.
Nice.
For sure.
Yeah, just a little bit. And she continued. Well, I guess we'll only be seeing her from the comments chorus
for the
future episodes. But yeah, she's been so much more fun and relaxed and sassy, a lot like Tom.
Yeah, and Tom is so sassy. Although Tom is also super persuadable, because last week he chose their dishes and then they were like, well, let's do the other one. And he was like, okay.
Yeah. he's like a
cool
chill dad.
Yeah.
That's like had a couple beers.
Yeah, or like an elementary school recess supervisor.
Yeah, who's had a few beers.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I thought that went without saying.
Yeah.
Oh, he was so chill. So, he was walking around tasting your food.
Nice. It's also so nice that he and Grayson not only are getting along, but they are having so much fun, because it was pretty awkward when they were on the actual show together.
Good point.
Yeah. And even in her loss, I thought Grayson was very gracious and, like, you know, she was still talking about how she felt, and it wasn't like, I feel great, but she managed to get it all out there without seeming jaded or bitter in a weird way.
She said she was tired of getting told to leave the kitchen, right?
Yeah.
Which is
reasonable. And Angelina's still standing there is what she said.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What'd you guys think of the burgers? Because it was 15 minutes flat to cook these crazy burgers.
That which is a little amount of time.
I don't know. I mean, I don't eat a lot of burgers these days, but that heirloom tomato that Angelina was cutting looked so good. It looked like the best tomato ever.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. And hers had avocado and heirloom tomatoes and pickled fried habaneros and arugula.
Oh, the pickled fried habaneros. I was all about that.
Yeah. Those even if it was a little raw dog.
Yeah. I hadn't thought a lot about the technical aspects of a good burger. I don't know if any of the other meat eaters had considered how compacted or non-compacted any given burger you've eaten has ever been.
I thought that was interesting. I hadn't thought about compacted versus, I guess I would have never thought about a burger. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I haven't thought about it before, but I mean, Tom said he liked it less compacted, right? Mm-hmm. But Grayson's looked kind of like a sloppy mess. So I don't know. Well, I think there's got to be a happy medium in there.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think he was also saying, I feel like probably the pork belly added to the structural weakness of her burger because I can't imagine cubes of pork fat really helping anything stick together.
But also, the main reason why Grayson is not continuing to go, Tanya, cheese shapes. Mm.
Cheese shapes.
Oh, yes. Wait, have we talked about cheese shapes on the show before?
I think we had. Really? I think at one point, very briefly last season, but you'd be it'd be understandable if the fans do not remember. But Tanya, tell us about your distaste for cheese shapes.
For Sarah and for the new listeners, of which there are four, cheese shapes refers to a situation in which any given cheese is not melted enough. And so the shape that it was originally created in when it was placed to be melted still remains. So if you grate a bunch of cheese for nachos and you put them in the oven and then you pull them before they are fully melted, you can still see all those little grated bits. That's cheese shapes. And it's unpleasant. It's an unacceptable experience.
It means your cheese isn't melted all the way through.
Yeah.
Also, and also the type of cheddar that Grayson selected and the thickness of her slice meant that you were almost guaranteed a cheese shape.
For
there
sure.
was never not going to be a cheese shape, even if it had melted more.
So to digress just a little bit, I threw a tiny football watching party, not this past week, which was made of misery, but the previous week, which was made of eventual triumph. And we made nachos, and I was at the store selecting cheese, and I was really happy that I got a cheddar cheese for my nachos. And I come back to the cart, and Tanya's like, "That won't melt well." I'm like, "Okay, what should I get? Just tell me."
Yeah, what? I didn't.
He
know
had chosen like a medium sharp cheddar, and the sharper a cheddar, the less good the.
It's just medium. It wasn't sharp.
Medium sharp does sound dull to me. I don't know.
But I'm just saying the more aged a cheddar, the less likely it will melt well.
I'm so stoked to get this cheese from the Northwest.
Were there cheese shapes in your nachos?
No, because I took Tanya's advice and I switched out the cheese.
And then the Seahawks lost this weekend and it's all my fault.
No, it's all because I didn't eat enough melted cheese, clearly.
So anyway, that story ended in tragedy.
Down.
Whoa, Megan on the football knowledge. What have you been reading?
You told me that. Oh, I had to ask last year. I was like, what's the deal with this?
Oh, what's that?
what is this?
So away from sports and back to Top Chef, more thoughts on The Last Chance Kitchen, or shall we get into our predictions?
I liked when Tom cut them in half and was like, this cheese isn't melted enough. And Grayson was like, yep. I like when chefs know that they messed up and they don't try to, like, the whole ethos, like, you have to stand behind your dish, was just a crazy phrase, meaning, like, you have to pretend you didn't notice your own flaws. And I hate that. Mm. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when someone says, did you mean this to be overcooked? You should probably say no. Like, don't pretend this is the way we ate it in the 1200s. Like, be like, actually, I don't like it either.
Don't stand behind your squid balls, okay?
Do not stand behind them.
Leave those squid balls sitting alone.
I'm sorry. What's going on, Megan?
Oh, nothing. I just almost pulled that off the thing, and I just.
Oh, I see. Megan started pointing frantically, and I was worried that it was something really show related, and it's not. Everything is fine.
Good
so
job.
Prediction.
Good save, everyone.
Oh, so Angelina won.
Yes,
Angelina won. Oh, I guess we should talk about that. Jeez.
Yeah, her burger was the best burger.
You guys, I'm not fond of her. Is that bad?
Okay. You gotta love her calmness under pressure, though, right?
Yeah, she was very calm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I liked her the most I've ever liked her.
Yeah.
Yes. The magic of Last Chance Kitchen.
Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good call.
Yeah.
It's amazing what people who've gotten a night's sleep are like.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yes. Oh, I do have. I have a closing note for everybody if they're interested.
Ooh. Do we do
remind
that
me
before or
shall we do it
predictions?
Right now? Well, speaking of sleeplessness, I guess what I so this past week I listened to this interview with Tom Colicchio on Michael Ian Black's How to Be Amazing.
Ooh.
And it was delightful. And I, you know, it wasn't a lot of new information about Tom, but it was really fun to hear him talk about Top Chef and how he got involved with the show and just his experience watching these chefs go through all of this stuff. And, you know, just his emphasis on the cumulative stress of doing day after day, challenge after challenge, and how wiped and depleted you are even just by like the halfway point in the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was just nice to hear from him, and also just to hear his, you know, how he got started in food and
totally.
You know, what he's into now. There's just a lot of things that I thought were really enjoyable. So I would super duper recommend everybody listen to that.
I think that sounds wonderful. Also,
yeah,
I do think that is probably the key we were just talking about earlier about why Last Chance Kitchen is so much more fun is they probably are way better slept and they're not, they're out of it, out of that challenge. Because Grayson was less on edge and she was like running, but like we're playing a game instead of like, this is my life and I'm ruining it.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
There's definitely, everybody looks super refreshed. I enjoyed seeing even the sidelines folks.
The folks
like
have to walk out, sit
out
on
new
the stool,
styles.
Walk back.
Yeah.
Walk out, sit on the stool.
But they're so cheerful
back.
About it.
Must be the most fun thing ever. And I bet they get to taste the food.
Ooh, yeah. I did want to try all those burgers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mm, burgers.
Yeah.
So Angelina's holding court in Last Chance Kitchen. And meanwhile, in the real world, we've still got Amar. I mean,
yeah.
That's something. what do we think is going to... Who do we think is heading toward the bottom? Do we think Squid Meatball is next on the chopping block?
Yep. He's my vote for bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is that weird, his like emotional state seems to be getting worse and worse. Like, he's getting gnarlier. I think the lack of sleep is really messing up Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know how long Philip's going to last.
I also would not be surprised for Philip to go out. I think he probably in real life is a great chef, but this show just does not seem to be his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
He's,
he just needs
I
one
think,
mistake.
Yeah.
Exactly. It. I completely agree, Sarah. I think that, my concern with Philip is also that he's now trying to kind of gamify his cooking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And trying out different approaches, thinking about what he thinks the judges want, which is never a good sign.
Yeah, as much as Joan and his wife were cheering when he said he was going to try to make good food for the judges, it doesn't sound to me like you're going to be like, I'm going to go against all my chef instincts. It doesn't seem like a great long-term strategy.
You have to do both, right? You have to cook food that you know people will like that goes along with what you believe in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he needs to find that. And it's, he wants to make gummy mashed potatoes, so it's going to be hard for him to figure out where that balance is.
See, I don't think that's exactly what I was saying earlier, though. I don't think he wants to make gummy mashed potatoes, but because of this, like, law of omerta within the cooking community, he has to pretend for the rest of his life that's how he wanted that to be, because he can't admit I messed up the potatoes a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't stand behind your dish anymore.
Just let that one go.
You're not
destroy your okay. We should just always throw our dishes under the bus. We're like, I hated it.
Just if
it's all the dishes' fault.
If you know that it's not good, like, are you going to go to his restaurant now and it's going to say gummy mashed potatoes on the menu just because he's going to keep that charade up for the rest of his life?
No, seriously, it's good.
Yeah, we had a conflicting opinion from Chris Tokahama, who thought that we would actually be seeing more and more of Philip because he's starting to take criticism seriously.
No.
But I would argue that his approach to criticism is not productive.
He seems like a man living on the edge.
Yeah.
I don't think he's long for the world.
Yeah, he seems like he wants, he's like, okay, I have to play this game or something and not taking it to heart. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Any other predictions? Ez, do you have any guesses about who's out next?
Or who's gonna turn into a rat king?
Yeah, I mean, so
who's rat kinging?
I mean, can we just, everyone who's left in it will be a rat king now?
Oh, no.
Like a rat, a rat, yeah, so everyone else is now a rat king. All of our remaining people.
Perfect. Perfect.
Your prediction game, as always.
Yeah. I'm pretty good at this, guys. Feel good about it. I think I'm going to say before the end of the season, all right, we're going to have someone who uses a pressure cooker successfully the first time.
Whoa.
Holy
I will legit bet you $1.50 on that.
I'm not going to take that bet. I just thought it'd be really cool if it happened.
Yeah.
I think sometimes as you predict with your heart, not your brain.
So, I know. This is how I want my predictions to taste.
Yeah. We're down to 10 chefs after Wesley's departure.
Yep.
So we're still probably 2 folks away from Restaurant Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Does this feel like a really long season so far?
Yeah. Wait, yeah, well, there's a big gap when we started late.
Yeah, there was a big gap. Yeah.
The nights are long. Days are shorter.
You could do a 5-on-5 Restaurant Wars. That's happened.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Maybe next week will be Restaurant Wars.
I didn't watch the preview. We would have known.
Mm. No, next week isn't Restaurant Wars.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it.
I feel like I'm spoiling nothing by saying that.
No, you're fine.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm excited for Restaurant Wars.
Yeah. I'm curious because I feel like we kicked off the season with kind of baby Restaurant Wars with that pop-up thing.
True. Yeah.
So this should be interesting. And we're kind of out of like enemy territory too. We don't really have anybody that's like against anyone else.
Philip against the world.
It is Philip against. It's kind of Philip against himself. Kind of
Jason's turning into a villain.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's getting evil villain. He's just kind of a.
He's antagonistic.
He's a persnickety, I think.
Yeah. He's persnickety.
Yeah, kind of a stick in the mud.
He's getting that persnickety edit. The magical elves are making him look all persnickety.
Yeah, he's
the persnedit.
Yeah, he's getting the persnedit.
Not as good as bananas. Sorry.
No. Sorry.
Nope. Yeah, Cajun Man's definitely getting the bananas edit.
Yeah. Which I'm comfortable with. Yeah, even though he did that to himself. Bananas. I'm into all things Cajun Man.
Yep.
So.
Swamp people for life.
Indeed. Well, until next week, I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens. This has been Pack Your Mics. And Chris?
What? Hey.
Hi. You're gonna have to go. I'm sorry.
What? No.
Chris, you're gonna have to go to wherever chocolate is from.
No. I just found a belt. My pants will stay up this time.
Oh, no. Oh, Chris, we're gonna give you the dignity edit. Your pants stay high as they can be. Well, and you'd sweep nothing off of a countertop as you exit the kitchen.
I've had a dignified run.
Bye, Chris.
Oh, no. God damn it, you magical elves. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.